For Notre Dame football fans, there's no sweeter sound than the words,
"Touchdown Notre Dame!"
or "Irish win."
He's in for a touchdown! The Irish have come from behind!
As a fan of the Fighting Irish, you know that Saturdays in the fall are not just game days. They are unforgettable experiences. Welcome to a fan's perspective on Fighting Irish football. This is Dome and Domer. Here are your hosts, Mike Brammer and Ed Jordanic.
Hello, Irish fans, and welcome to another edition of Dome and Domer. My name's Mike Brammer. Joining me, Ed Jordanic. And for the next 15-20 minutes, we'll talk about how to avoid the let-up after a game like they had against Michigan State. Ed, obviously, we always mention and talk about Holtz in those days, and this is clearly one of those games where I always like to think of good coaches as coaches that win the games they should and then steal one every now and then when they shouldn't win the game. This is clearly one of those games that Notre Dame should win. I mean, you got to look at it on paper and think that they're the better football team. But in this day and world that we live in with the parity in college football, there's no guarantees. And, this is going to be a challenge for Brian Kelly, especially where the program is.
Yeah,
no,
I think it's a good measuring stick. You're exactly right. I mean, I still have Charlie Weiss's words ringing in my ears about, we're not going to be losing to, Michigan State and Pitt and Purdue anymore around here. Little did we know he was going to add Navy to the list of teams that could beat us on a consistent basis. I think the progress of a program is measured by winning big games and winning important games, marquee games certainly, but also by putting the hammer down on teams that you should beat. And this football team, I'm encouraged in the sense that it certainly still has a lot to work on. So I don't think there's a lack of there probably wouldn't be a lack of motivation. And you look up and down the schedule. I mean, the Purdue game was very close last year. Obviously, Navy, there's some payback involved. I mean, when you look at the quote-unquote games that should be won on the rest of the schedule, there's a narrative that you can come up with for each one on why the team should be motivated and ready to play. And I think that they also know, and I don't know if this works to their advantage or not, but because of the squandered opportunities in week one and two to get back into the national conversation in a serious way at the end of the season, they don't have any margin for error. Right, so they've got to win,
right.
And they've got to play well, and they've got to win impressively too. Because remember, voters take that into account. So I think you and I would probably agree that, you could make a really good argument that Michigan State is the best of the first three teams that we played, and we manhandled
them. We thought that. I think all three of us probably would have agreed that after the first three games, we were looking at 2-1. Now we're 1-2, and we're staring down the barrel of an absolute disaster of 0-3. But I think what ultimately happened is Notre Dame rang true with who they really are, which is a good football team. I mean, they clearly have some weapons. They've got the ability to play well, and they proved that on Saturday. Now they go into this next game where, on paper you look at it and you say, okay, Pittsburgh, beat up two nobodies, Maine and Buffalo. Struggled a little bit with Maine, but, clearly got beat by Iowa, who is always a traditionally tough team, but I don't know that Iowa's really there like they normally are year in and year out this year. This obviously when it's Notre Dame, everybody's up for you. I mean, this is – everybody's now staring at, all right, look, here's how we cement ourselves is let's – knock off Notre Dame. So you're going to have that attitude coming at you. But, this is where we've got to execute and get better from where we were the week before. Everybody's going to be looking at this entire season as, do we get better from week to week? And so everybody's going to be looking for that. So what is it that we're going to do that we're going to prove upon last week and showcase that this week? And improvement means you win. So Notre Dame's got to win Saturday. They got to do it in a way where they show that they improve a bit and get better as a football team. But I tend to agree with you. I don't think that's going to be a tough thing to do as from a motivation standpoint. I really think that Brian Kelly is absolutely all over this idea of making sure that we execute and prove the point. And you're not going to prove it by beating Pitt, nor the next three games on our schedule. I mean, it's going to have to be, hey, fellas, this is the rest of the season. It's got to be this way from
right.
here on
and
out.
I do subscribe to this theory, and I know it's a coaching cliche, but I think that you could arrange a mindset in your players of 11 or 12 one-week schedules, you know, where each is a unit in and of itself. There's a theme for that week. There's a reason to get ready. And that whole 24-hour rule of forgetting the result of Saturday by Sunday night and then turning the attention 100% to the next opponent, I think you can create that kind of a culture on a football team and that kind of a mindset. Maybe not with everybody all the time, but that it can be a pretty consistent way to run a program. And I think it's a real healthy way to do it because we all know of instances of teams getting caught looking ahead or getting caught in a trap game a little bit. And that just margin for error just doesn't exist for Notre Dame anymore. And they can't afford to have a close call in the fourth quarter against one of these teams that they should beat and have a break or two not go their way and suddenly have another loss to a team that they should have beat. So, and I think that it's a team that's still a little bit in search of an identity. I think I'm starting to see one. But I think I want it to be an identity where they're more or less they start bullying some people and pushing some people around. You know, they made life rough for Michigan State on each line of scrimmage, and I think if they could kind of maintain that for the rest of the year, that's a pretty good identity to have for a football team, and it is very much consistent with our frame of reference in terms of those Holtz teams that really used to. Push people around up front, and that was kind of a consistent benchmark of their successes.
Yeah, and they did a couple things on, well, you know, prior to the game, we were talking about, hey, it's time for guys to step up and make a play. We clearly got that on Saturday. There were definitely some guys that made some plays. But there was also some, you know, glimmer of hope in that we got a special teams touchdown. We played well defensively. I mean, obviously, we saw something on the defensive line we haven't seen in a long time. It's going to be really interesting to see if that continues to happen game in and game out. But, you know, we're at this point now where, you know, this is where they're going to make themselves into the program that we're hoping them to be. And that means that you win the games you're supposed to win. And Notre Dame clearly should win on Saturday.
And let's face it, I mean, it looks, like, again, on paper, but... it doesn't look like a very good matchup for Pittsburgh. I mean, it appears that their weaknesses are their offensive line and their secondary. And obviously, it's going to be a long day for their quarterback if we can basically put a pretty quick stop to any hopes they have of their good running back. Is it Ray Graham? I'm not quite. I might have the name wrong there.
It is
but,
Graham.
Having a good day running against us. And if we could put a stop to that fairly early, then that's when it becomes very difficult for them, I think, because of our ability to maybe bring a little pressure and the strength of our defense kind of in the middle back in Blanton, et cetera. So, and when we have the ball, they really have matchup problems when it comes to Floyd and Eifert and I think TJ Jones. You know, there'll be some plays that are broken, I think, through the air on Saturday for us.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, I would think that I still think you go out and establish the run. Now, obviously, you always want to do that. Certainly, we're going to start by doing that, no doubt about it. But, man, if we start clipping off some runs of 4 and 5 and 6 yards on first down, that is going to put an awful lot of pressure on their defense, their DBs. Yeah, and they're just going to – you have to counter that. And so what you end up doing is you give up, you know, the passing game to us. And that's where, you know, with the offense that we've got and the kind of weapons we've got, you know, we'll exploit it. This could be a great opportunity for Riddick to bust out. And, you know, I think that clearly they're going to be – they're going to be cognizant of Michael Floyd, and you're going to see a lot of the same kind of stuff we've been seeing up to this point, which is the disguised double teams. You know, they line up as if they're not double teaming you, and then all of a sudden you see the drop linebacker just sprint back and you know, the zone that Floyd's going to occupy. So you're going to see a lot of that kind of stuff, but it should open it up for T.J. Jones and Riddick. And I'd like to see Riddick get, you know, he's got to touch the ball a couple more times. One throw to him a game is not going to do it. We got to get him involved, and we got to get him in the football game because it's now the third game of the season. And he started out with a good game, but I think that, you know, that's a guy you can't afford to get lost
sure.
in the shuffle.
And I think, remember, last Saturday was probably the best defense that we played in the first three games. We had a special teams touchdown. We moved the ball a couple times, but we got stopped pretty well a few times too. It wasn't a consistent offensive game. If you looked at the numbers, I think the rushing yardage was a little bit down. Certainly the passing yardage was. Floyd was held relatively in check except for the one longish pass. Sierra didn't run for 100 yards for the first time this year. And all that is okay if you can move the, but I also thought we did a pretty good job of sustaining drives several times. But other times we were put into the three and out situation, and I think that I just don't think that Pittsburgh has the firepower on defense that Michigan State did, and the offense was able to basically put up 24 points against Michigan State's defense. Maybe you should say 21 points, given the field goal after the Blanton interception return wasn't really an offensive generated score. But I think three offensive touchdowns against Michigan State's defense is not a bad outing. But there's still, you know, there's still
right.
stuff that can be cleaned up, especially like you said, utilizing Theo.
Yeah, it wasn't a dominating. Obviously, we had, 290 yards of offense against Michigan State. Now, I agree with you. I think they were the best of the three defenses we faced. And, you know, the game turned out the way that it did. We still had over 100 yards rushing, which, you know, that's always, you'd like to see that 150 every single game. But still, I mean, I think that, you know, right now we're doing the right kinds of things. It's almost like a mentality game with these guys. But the scary part is you know, you talk about being in the game in the fourth quarter and giving up something here or there. Well, there's some glaring things we could give up. I don't want to go back to harping on the punting, but, you know, what happens if you're up by seven and all you need is a deep punt to put the game away, and we don't? There's a fluke play. They score. They go for two. They win. All of a sudden, the game's over, and you're done. So, you know, that's the kind of stuff that you just like to see them separate themselves throughout the course of the game, like Holtz used to do. It's almost like a slow noose that goes around your neck because they just keep coming at you, and all of a sudden we'd score late, make the game look like it was a blowout, but it really wasn't because we just grounded at the end of the game and scored.
In these kinds of games against teams that you should beat, it's really the first and third quarter, isn't it? I mean, if you can get off to a quick start and get a touchdown or two late in the first quarter and then come out after halftime and basically end the game, that kind of seems to be the formula that works for teams that are more physical, more talented, and should win a game. That's kind of the form. That's how you get a 35-10 game or a 42-3 game. Is when you really just dominate the first and third quarters, and so we'll see. I mean, I'm curious. I mean, that's one of the things that is maybe a plus side on this awful start to the first two games is you're looking forward to watching this team to see how they develop. You know, see if how much progress they make in cleaning up their mistakes on special teams, cleaning up their mistakes, holding on to the football, and seeing how Tommy develops. You know, he's had one really terrible throw in each of the first three games, and fortunately, last week's didn't really cost Notre Dame. But you're seeing the development of a quarterback. I mean, sometimes we forget. I mean, it's really he doesn't have a full season full of starts under his belt. So we're getting there.
Yeah, we are. And I do think that you're going to probably see a little bit of control given as well. This is clearly a game where it won't surprise me at all if we come out of the blocks just running the football and establishing that and getting it. Don't put Tommy in a situation where, you know, we're relying on a big, huge third and long situation. Because like you said, I mean, this is his now seventh start in total. And doesn't even have a full season underneath him. So therefore, he's still learning the ropes. He's still learning the whole idea of running an offense from the get-go and being in a situation. He's doing a great job of checking out of a lot of things when it comes to the run and recognizing that. And so that you applaud him for. It's just not quite there yet on the passing side. And, you know, he's a sophomore, so you can't really expect it too much. But, you know, he's got that room for improvement. And I do think that the way you handle that is you try and control the situation. So let's just not put him in situation. Let's let him grow over these next couple games and, you know, head into USC with as much confidence as you could possibly have.
Yeah, no, I agree. And but I think it can only help recruiting also is the way that you see this season start to unfold a little bit. You know, there are four or five freshmen that are getting a lot of time and making big contributions, especially on defense. Hopefully that means that we hold on to some of these defensive back recruits because they're obviously can see that they're going to play. And we'll probably, you know, look at Ben Koyak. He's played a lot the last two games with the injuries to Golick and Ragone and Alex Welch. He's basically the number two tight end behind Eifert, and that's only going to help because Notre Dame's, at least in this offense, Brian Kelly's always going to need at least two, three tight ends that can get the job done, right? So all of that, I think, kind of plays into a very interesting month ahead of us in kind of seeing if this team is gaining confidence, taking care of business against a string of three teams. Air Force is always tricky, and we saw what looking even further ahead, we saw what Navy did with South Carolina. But we shouldn't lose a game between now and Southern Cal, and they're starting to play a little bit better. They had a couple shaky starts, but they won those games. But they looked much better on offense this past weekend. So not to get ahead of ourselves, but it is kind of fun to look ahead and say, okay, what are these week-to-week tests, and looking out a month or so, how can we position ourselves to really take this thing deep and do what everybody hopes that we can do, which is we're going to be favored, I think, in these games on our schedule, barring, and again, I'm knocking on wood here, but we really haven't had a significant injury to a top-line player. You usually have one or two of those during the course of a year, but Notre Dame's escaped that thus far and could definitely put a run together heading into the end of November.
Yeah, I agree, and I think it's going to get really interesting, to say the least. Both from, you know, a play standpoint where they're coming, but like you said, the recruiting side of things is, it's kind of critical. I mean, this program has got some things going for it. You'd really like to see us to continue the kind of success that we've had.
Yeah, no, and I think this whole thing about this mantra about player development is starting to show through. You know, you're getting some performances from some guys that have obviously benefited from the coaching that they've received, and I think that is something that can only help, because if you see an opportunity to get better and an opportunity to contribute right away, if your talent and your work put you in that position, then and you look at a depth chart, I think that maybe, you know, indicates that things will turn out pretty well for Notre Dame in a couple of areas, that they still need to land one or two really top line guys, and that's in the offensive backfield, in the running back area, and in the defensive back.
Yeah, and I would think that if there's ever, clearly Notre Dame's got that advantage. I mean, you look at a guy like Robert Hughes, who didn't have just an outstanding, stellar career at Notre Dame, and yet he's got shots at the NFL. You're always going to have that with Notre Dame, and that's always going to be a selling point. But it is nice to see the hard, concrete evidence of guys that do.
Did you see the interview with? Interview with the walk-on Chris Salvi, the guy on the special teams that had a good block on the kickoff return? But they had an interview with him this week about his kind of welcome to big time college football moment, and it involved Robert Hughes. Yeah.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah. I didn't see that.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. I mean, he's—I think he's a suburban Chicago kid, and I think he played. He might have actually gone to Butler for a year. I can't remember, but he played somewhere and then transferred to Notre Dame, which is what he always had wanted to do. And obviously, he's kind of down the depth chart at the safety position, but he's carved out a place for him on special teams. And it's just one of those effort guys who's also a good athlete. And he sprung Atkinson last week. He's number 24. And if Notre Dame can keep coming up with kind of a Mike Iannella, Chris Salvi guy every year, those kind of glue guys on special teams can really make a difference.
Yeah. He's kind of like the Pat Eilers.
Yeah. Now, Eilers was exceptional. I mean,
he was good. Now, he was a great athlete. I mean, he started out at Harvard or Yale. I can't remember, but he came over to us my freshman year when I was on the team as a walk-on. He was one of those guys that would actually talk to me. So I always thought that was cool. But he was an awesome guy, and he was just a guy that got after it. I mean, he, every practice, and I think it ended up just winning respect, and then all of a sudden he gets in the game, and, you know, lo and behold, things happen. Sounds like, from what Kelly's saying, this is the same kind of kid. And it's that kind of stuff that really, you know, bodes well for Notre Dame if we can steal a guy here or there that you know, makes the big plays. That was one of the cool things, was coming back after being in the stadium watching the game, coming back, seeing the tape, and then seeing that block on the kick return. He took two guys out. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, no, definitely. And Notre Dame has a history of having those contributors, especially on special teams. And like I said, you need that. You need all these little pieces to play championship football. If you look back at some of these teams, and I don't care if it's Alabama, Texas, USC, they're walk-ons on those teams that contribute on special teams. There's guys that are afterthoughts or throw-ins or whatever you want to call them. But every great team, every great championship team has some role players that maybe aren't kind of the ballyhooed recruit or the first-round draft choice. But they make things happen, and you could really depend on them in a big spot, and that's just another aspect of a top-notch program.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, well, let's hope for a nice, easy show on Sunday, and we can talk about the big Irish win and moving ahead to the next Saturday.
You're gonna give a score?
Now, you know, I will. I'm gonna go out and say that it's gonna be 34-10.
Okay. I'm going to say the offensive output is, I think the offense is really going to click the best that we've seen it this year, and I'm going to say 45-13.
It is supposed to rain there all day Saturday, so yeah. So we are going to see some rain. But I don't know, maybe the ground and pound will come in as a result of that.
Okay, well then we'll tack a couple defensive touchdowns on there and make it 62-13.
There you go. We'll leave it there. You've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame sports from a fan's perspective. For Ed Jordanic, I'm Mike Brammer. Thanks for listening.